I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a special program in store for you this evening, coming to you live from Romania, and we're going to be talking about the greatest secret of the millennium, which is all about an alien base that was discovered, apparently built for giants, and this was found in the Buseg Mountains of Romania, and that's B-U-C-E-G-I, Buseg Mountains of Romania, and a tunnel system there. But before we get into all that, we're going to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a short clip of the Hari Om mantra Japa meditation. So if the guys in the booth will play that now, it'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari.
Hari 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 Om
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 Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Shanti.
Yes, that was a clip from back in the 1970s of Sri Swami Satchidananda leading a Hari Om mantra meditation. And I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And on tonight's program, we're going to be hearing from some information from Corey Good, a channeling from Bashar from the Esasani, and also a channeling of information from the Arcturians, all connected or surrounding the subject tonight. And I might point out, just from personal experience, that I have been to this site, and it's called the Rock Sphinx, and that's in Buceg, B-U-C-E-G-I, Buceg, Romania. And also there is a stone structure called Babele, and that's B-A-B-E-L-E. And incidentally, for new listeners, there's going to be lots of information coming your way in the next hour. You might want to grab a paper and pen so that you can research some of these ideas and concepts later at your leisure. And in that respect, I would also highly recommend that you check out the archive to this program, which can be found at the BBS radio, or you can go to my website, etyoga.com, and on the main page is a little button there called Radio Archives. You just push that one button, and you're automatically into the most previous archives, and this program will be appearing in the next day or so in that fashion. And just look for today's date, and you'll have the program, and you can then listen to it at your leisure. I'm going to begin by also mentioning that when you go to this rock sphinx, you're not going to find any alien base for giants there. According to an unknown source, there are systems now that for protection that have been set up at this where the actual base is inside the mountain. And according to this source, the entrance is camouflaged, and so is the entrance to the mountain. And this particular source claims to have been inside the mountain as part of an investigative team. And he also states that in Bucharest, Romania, there's a new institute funded by American scientists, and it functions undercover there. So that's kind of interesting. And also in terms of physical evidence, I've actually seen photographs of multiple military vehicles and American officers and personnel at the site. And these pictures were taken in 2015. And I don't know, I guess if you think that American personnel and military vehicles would go to the middle of Romania for a picnic, no, I guess that would be your choice to accept that version. And to be totally fair, there are multiple books out concerning this particular topic, although to date, the powers that be have prevented any physical proof or evidence of this being an actual fact from the public view. So I should point out that if you go on the internet and check this out, you're going to find lots of stories about it, but you're probably not going to find, well, you are going to find the odd story that what I would consider disinformation that basically tries to write this all off as absolutely nothing. So I think it's only fair to to state that when you listen to everything that's presented on the program tonight, as usual on ET Yoga, you're going to get the ET Yoga spin and the extraterrestrial channel information spin, and then you can make up your own mind, do your own research. Interesting stuff. Also, the publisher of some of the books that are about this topic, there are actually four books out. One of them is called Transylvania Sunrise. One is called Transylvania Moonrise. And one is called the Mystery of Egypt. And the fourth is called The Secret Parchment. And Peter Moon is the publisher of these books, and he has multiple videos on YouTube about the topic, as well as many radio interviews that he has done. And Transylvania Sunrise and Transylvania Moonrise are two very important books that describe the events leading up to the joint American-Romanian expedition down the first tunnel that was found there, heading to the Giza Plateau and the Holographic Chamber of Records. And the third book, Mystery of Egypt, the first tunnel describes the joint Romanian-American mission to travel through a projected energy tunnel from the holographic chambers under the Busej Mountains to a similar chamber under the Giza Plateau and the discoveries made there. The mission was able to retrieve hundreds of holographic projection discs, which presumably contain a plethora of ancient information and technical data. And the book, the latest one called The Secret Parchment, also gives suggestions for humanity's behavior and thinking. I'm now going to share with you some information from Cosmic Convergence, which was originally published, this information, on November 30th of 2010, and it was improved, corrected, and republished in May of 2013. And it states that in the summer of 2003, in the unexplored area of the Busej Mountains, a team from Zero Department, the top secret section of the Romanian Intelligence Service, or SRI, made an epical discovery which could change mankind's destiny. The United States of America apparently exercised colossal diplomatic pressure on the Romanian government, which intended to disclose the findings to the entire world. And the implications became far more complex due to the brutal interference of the Order of the Illuminati, which sought to take control of both the location of the discovery and the joint Romanian-American expedition. The expert on strange phenomena and also the leader of operations for the Romanian state, Cesar Brad, is the hero of the shocking events that occurred in the Busej Mountains. He also had two memorable meetings with a leading representative of the Illuminati and top Bilderberg member. And this information continues that the location of the alien base inside the Busej Mountain in Romania, and it's actually called Omu, you know, that's the name of the mountain. And the most powerful Bilderberg member apparently... this is who Brad got a visit from. And in May 2003, Cesar was visited by a highly important character. The meeting request came through the SRI as a result of the government's intervention. The person was a foreigner but spoke the Romanian language very well. He was also familiar with the country. The SRI informed Cesar that the visitor was a high-ranking member of a very important Masonic lodge from Italy. He was a noble and had very strong financial influence in Romania. His political influence was also very high, since he was able to penetrate the wall of SRI agents and reach the DZ. Cesar felt high pressure and heavy weight around this person. He was surrounded by a cloud of heavy, unpleasant radiation, which concealed his true intentions. For this meeting, Cesar prepared thoroughly, isolating himself in a room and falling into a state of deep meditation to learn more about the person. An SRI helicopter brought this arrogant tall gentleman wearing a black suit. He had a cane with an ivory handle and gold inlay. His face expressed harshness, and his green eyes had a strange effect, radiating unusual coldness. He presented himself as Signor Massini, probably not his real name. He was very confident of his power and created the impression of a person who was used to giving orders. He was the leader of one of the most important Masonic lodges of Europe and also to one of the most influential Masonic organizations in the world, the Bilderberg Group. Massini was very direct and stated that humans are of two kinds, those that can be manipulated and ruled, and those who have certain virtues and strong personalities. He said that his group is part of the highest Masonic order and is very interested in the outcome of the discussion. Mr. Massini explained that the Bilderberg Group is not a Masonic lodge, and it means much more than that. He said that the lodges are just facades, and the real power is much higher than the 33rd hierarchical level. Massini invited Cesar to join the group, letting them understand that he will have many advantages. According to Cesar, Massini was both physically and psychically strong, which contrasted with his age. Unfortunately for him, his power was centered on a huge ego, arrogance, and sense of superiority over the rest. Massini informed Cesar that he requested him personally, using his political influence, because he was impressed by Cesar's psychic power. And a Pentagon satellite used for geodetic espionage, based on bionic technology and shape waves, discovered in 2002 a separate unit in a specific area of the Besedge Mountains. The empty space inside the mountain had no correspondence with the outside and looked like it was carved from the inside by intelligent beings. It was definitely not a cave. The satellite scan of the mountain revealed two major energetic blocks. These barriers were made of artificial energy. The first one was like an energetic wall, blocking the access to the tunnel, while the second one was shaped like a dome or hemisphere and was located at the opposite end of the tunnel near the center of the mountain. Massini was sure that inside the dome they will discover something extremely important. He had deep knowledge about the origin of this discovery and had known of the existence of at least one item located inside the great hemispherical hall. The tunnel and dome were strangely aligned with the rock formations from the top of the mountain known as Babele, that's B-A-B-E-L-E, and the Sphinx of Busedge. And apparently there's a similar structure in Iraq. The Pentagon team noted that the hemispherical energy barrier had the same vibrational frequency and the same shape as one other top secret underground structure that they had discovered prior near Baghdad, Iraq. Shortly after this discovery, the Iraqi war broke out, and after a few months, the Americans had access to the biggest secret in the area, which the Iraqis knew nothing of. Massini explained, Cesar, that the content of that discovery had to do with Earth's mysterious past and the history of their secret organizations. When the Pentagon investigation noted the similarities between the underground structure of Baghdad and the one from Busedge Mountains, Massini and his Masonic Lodge became extremely agitated. Initially, they almost panicked. The panic was due to the fact that this structure, much larger and more complex than the one from Iraq, is on Romania's territory. Apparently, Romania is probable to play an important role in the downfall of the secret societies that control the world and enslave mankind. It was also suggested that somewhere above the Busedge Mountains, an energetic pyramid is located, which is invisible to the naked eye and contains the real history of our planet. One can imagine their panic. Massini brought to the drilling site an ultra-sophisticated hard rock drilling machine used by the U.S. military. The device used a strong plasma jet and sort of rotating magnetic field, literally melting the rock with no visible effort. According to this information, this is from Cosmic Convergence, they were able to achieve penetration about 60 to 70 meters away from the first energetic barrier and reach the first gallery, which looked like a subway tunnel. Its walls were perfectly polished. At the end of the tunnel, there was a massive stone gate, which was protected by an invisible energetic barrier. Three members of the first special intervention team tried to touch the door and immediately died of cardiac arrest. Any object, rock, plastic, metal, or wood, threw at the barrier immediately turned into fine dust. Two generals from the Pentagon and the U.S. presidential advisor arrived on the spot. The Grand Gallery. Beyond the formidable energy barrier, which caused the deaths of three people, there was also the solid rock gate. On the tunnel's wall, just in front of the gate, there was an area of 20 square centimeters on which there was precisely drawn an equilateral triangle pointing up. The square was located between the huge grinding stone gate and the invisible energy barrier. Caesar felt that there was some kind of compatibility between the energetic barrier and himself, something like a mutual sympathy. His hand lightly touched the surface of the energetic barrier, and he felt a tingling on the skin. The shield was completely harmless to him, so he stepped forward, passing right through it. U.S. officials were absolutely stunned. Caesar estimated the barrier to be no more than an inch thick. He touched the triangle drawing located in the center of the square, and the gigantic stone door silently slid to the left into the wall. That command also canceled the energetic barrier, giving them access to a huge room, which was later named the Grand Gallery. Even though there was no visible light source, the Grand Gallery was perfectly lit. After turning off the first energetic barrier, the huge hemispherical shield at the other end of the room suddenly turned to a higher vibration and started emitting higher radiations. On a closer analysis, the wall inside the Grand Gallery seemed synthetic, but also felt like something organic was part of it. It had the color of oil, but the reflections were green and blue. Later tests revealed that the wall's material was somewhat rough to the touch, but it could not be scratched or bent. It withstood any attempt of breaking, piercing, or cutting it. Later, the scientists tried to burn the material, but in a mysterious way, the flames were somehow absorbed within it, leaving it untouched. The American scientists agreed that the material is a mysterious combination of organic and inorganic matter. After 280 feet, the gallery suddenly turned into the right in a sharp angle. Further ahead, a blue, sparkly light could be seen. The blue light at the end of the gallery was the reflection of the protective shield of energy. Similar base in Iraq. The U.S. advisor on national security issues received a call that he was notified that the energetic shield from Baghdad, Iraq, had been suddenly activated, and it was also pulsating at a higher frequency. In front of the shield from Baghdad, a hologram of our planet appeared, which sequentially and progressively depicted the European continent, then moved to the southeast, then it showed the Buzeci Mountains from Romania, and finally it showed their own location within the structure's corridor. It was obvious that the two hemispherical energy shields were in direct connection. Basically, the Iraq base had been notified about the presence of people inside the Romanian base. The bad news was that the U.S. presidency was notified, and then it contacted the Romanian diplomacy. In just a few minutes, the whole operation had been disclosed, and Lord Mazzini's plan went down the drain. The U.S. presidency demanded to take control over the secret base and the entire operation. The Romanian politicians, who knew nothing of the undergoing secret operation, panicked. The Pentagon's generals present at the scene had been informed that Washington demanded an urgent meeting. An emergency session of the Supreme Defense Council had created a huge wave of sympathy for the Zero Department. Most were shaken by the news they've received. The CSAT, or Supreme Defense Council's decision was to continue to the research, but under Zero Department's complete control. They had also demanded an inventory of everything found in the Great Room. From Bucharest, Romania, that's Romania's capital, the orders came in waves, canceling each other. Some were very vehement and strict, while others were elusive, denoting the huge tension. CSAT's members were in continuous session, keeping in touch with the Buzeci Mountains team, and after discussing everything for hours, they had decided to make the discovery public. The Romanian government was to make a formal statement to the entire world some CSAT members vehemently opposed the decision. But Romania's official statement, when the U.S. diplomacy had been informed that Romania will disclose the discoveries, everything turned into chaos. The president was called for a direct phone conversation with the White House. Within hours, the U.S. blocked all financial transactions with Romania and its access to all other financial institutions. Romania was about to declare a state of emergency in the Buzău Mountains and the capital. The talks between the U.S. officials arrived in Baghdad in Bucharest, and the Romanian Emergency Department took place without a translator. The U.S. officials were verbally violent, constantly shouting and uttering threats to Romania and its officials. According to this article, Romania's official disclosure to the world would have provided photographic evidence and anything else essential for a complete clarification. Leading scientists and researchers from all over the planet were to be invited for in-depth studies. But most importantly, it would have revealed the truth about mankind's distant past and the real history, which, according to what Caesar witnessed inside the Grand Gallery, is almost entirely counterfeit. The reaction of the U.S. government was so brutal because that disclosure would have shattered their global influence and power in an instant. The official reason cited by the U.S. was not to create panic in the world, but they had admitted to acknowledge that the current state of global anguish is a direct result of deliberate deceit and manipulation conducted by the Freemasonry and other secret societies for millennia. There was also an intervention from the Vatican. If you wonder how did the Vatican find out about this discovery, then you should know that they're at the very top of the world's control pyramid, and their religious piety is merely a facade. And this article says you could read the darkest secrets of the Vatican, in which the Pope called for moderation before this great fundamental step for mankind. The Pope promised to make certain documents available to the Romanian state from the ancient papal secret archives, which were of great importance for Romania, and the documents were backing up the discoveries. So, after 24 hours of negotiations, a final agreement occurred between Romania and the USA. The Romanian state was to postpone the disclosure and gradually present everything to the people. The projection room. The Grand Gallery ended abruptly with a giant auditorium 30 meters in height and a length of 100 meters. The projection room was smaller in size and it was protected by an energetic shield. Advancing towards the shield, a portion of it disappeared in the shape of a door, allowing access inside it. The shield protected the room by any outside influences. Once inside the room, the shield became compact and looked like a white golden wall. Basically, the shield formed this dome-shaped room with curved walls and ceiling, and at the back of the room, at a height of 10 to 12 meters, the shield ended where it touched the room's stone wall. In this wall, there were three enormous tunnel holes, one located straight ahead, and the other two were symmetrical on both sides. They were lit by a diffused light in a greenish tint. Both sides decided to prohibit the access to these tunnels, and a protocol was signed between them. A series of huge stone tables were arranged along the right and left walls, following their curvature. The tables were about 2 meters in height. The tabletops had precision cut in reliefs, different signs of an unknown writing, and characters that resembled ancient cuneiform. The writing also contained more general symbols, such as triangles and circles. Although the signs were not painted, they had a fluorescent light radiating in various colors, different for each table. On some of the tables, there were different objects which appeared to be technical tools. From many of these tools, translucent white wires descended to the floor and entered inside shiny silver-like rectangular boxes, and these boxes were placed directly on the floor. At closer inspection, the cables were extremely flexible and lightweight, and light pulses could be seen circulating along their length. Each time someone approached the tables, a holographic projection was automatically activated, presenting aspects of a particular scientific field. The three-dimensional images were perfect and had a height of almost 2.5 meters, or 8.2 feet. The projections were automated and ran by themselves, but at the same time, they were interactive and changed according to the sign touched on the table surface. Because of the great height of the tables, the scientists used special tripods to climb at a comfortable height. At a closer investigation, they observed a dark glassy material covering the tabletops. The material was divided into several large squares bounded by straight lines which formed some type of a grid. One of the tables contained information from the field of biology, and it projected images of plants and animals, some of which were completely unknown to the scientists. After touching one of the squares, a hologram presenting the structure of the human body was activated. The hologram was constantly rotating, highlighting various areas of the human body. Touching other squares activated holographic projections of extraterrestrial beings from other planetary systems. Simultaneously touching two different squares, a complex scientific analysis was projected, showing the DNA of both species and compatibility possibilities between the two. On the sides, in vertical lines, there were written explanations in the same alien alphabet. At the end of the simulation, a crossbreed between the two species was displayed. Judging by the size of all the objects within the projection room, the creators of the edifice were probably very tall beings, like giants. And a confirmation of giant humanoid skeletons found in Romania could be found in the newspaper called Ziarul, and that's Z-I-A-R-U-L. The team from the newspaper is accompanied by researcher Vasily Rudan, R-U-D-A-N, who noted that the people of the Ziarul village have concrete evidence, a cemetery with skeletons of giants. And it was discovered by chance over 20 years ago. And there's actually a cemetery that's been found there in Romania that has 80 giants in that cemetery. And it also had a library of the universe, according to this article. The projection room contains detailed information from fields like physics, cosmology, astronomy, architecture, technology, biology, genetics, and even religion. And because it contained so much information, the room was compared to a library. In the middle of the room, there was a podium-like area which contained an interesting device. The scientists speculated that it might have been a device to enhance various cerebral functions. Now, there was also found there, according to this article, a mysterious amphora. Behind the control panel, there was a square pedestal of about 3 meters per side on which a mysterious amphora was resting. Lord Mazzini had knowledge of its existence, and for him and his Masonic elite, this was the most important discovery. The amphora contained a very fine white powder. The researchers were dismayed to find that the white powder was a high purity formula of monatomic gold with an unknown crystalline structure. The gold powder in its pure form greatly stimulates certain waves and energy exchanges at cellular and neural levels, and this causes an accelerated process of rejuvenation. Theoretically, a man can live in the same physical body for thousands of years, provided they consume this from time to time, a well-defined quantity of monatomic gold powder. This explains many puzzling aspects about the incredible longevity of some important figures and uncovers part of the hidden intentions of the global elite. Real history of our planet. Behind the amphora in the middle of the square, there was a huge dome that projected holograms, and it displayed the main aspects of humanity's most distant past from its very beginning. Caesar explained that according to the images projected by the hologram, about 90% of mankind's official history is false and counterfeit. Darwin's evolutionary theory is also incorrect. In the middle of the square is a huge dome which projects a hologram of moving parts. It contains the main aspects of the very distant past of humanity from its very beginning. Caesar explained that according to the images projected by the hologram, Darwin's evolutionary theory is completely false. The true origin of man is depicted in a condensed holographic form. And after three lessons of truth, we can say that 90% of the official history of mankind is false and counterfeit. Unbelievable, but what is now considered to have really happened in our history never did, while the so-called myths and legends are almost entirely true. Also, most archaeological theories are false. For example, the dinosaurs did not go extinct 65 million years ago. The old continents of Lemuria and Atlantis existed. This strange inversion caused many problems and conflicts between people in our past. And for correct dating of the present presented events, a star map corresponding to that period was projected on the background. Although the time period covered by the projections was very large, several hundred thousand years, and the precession cycle of the Earth is 25,920 years, by observing the number of Platonic years, the 25,920-year cycle, the exact dating of the events was possible, and the Busedge Mountains are 50 to 55,000 years old. This particular information, this again is from Cosmic Convergence. Sort of states that much of this information actually was so shocking that Caesar didn't even want to reveal it in the books. So what we have here is basically a story that was published in 2010 and again updated later. It also mentions about three mysterious tunnels that discovered tunnels are thousands of miles in length and lead to three different areas of the planet. The one in the left connected the Romanian base to yet to be discovered underground base somewhere in Egypt. The right tunnel led to a similar but smaller structure in the Tibetan plateau, and this tunnel had three secondary ramifications. One led to an underground area near the Romanian city of Buzaru, and another one led to the already mentioned Iraqi base, while the final ramification led to an underground base in the, the Giza Plateau. Intense preparations began for the expeditions inside all three tunnels. And that's what became some of the topics of the books that were eventually published. I should point out as well that according to information I was able to locate, this tunnel that leads to the Giza Plateau is particularly of interest because it leads to the Great Pyramid. And the capstone of the Great Pyramid of Giza is 1/56 the size of the pyramid itself. And the pyramid is 1/56 the size of the Giza Plateau. And the Giza Plateau is 1/56 the size of Africa, which is 1/56 the size of the Earth. And Edgar Cayce, the American sleeping prophet, and Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, the Atlantean, in his Emerald Tablets, Thoth describes a hall of records beneath the Sphinx, and actually Bashar Essassani has also confirmed that this hall of records has been found, and Bashar felt that it would be made public within a couple of years, but that's been, I don't know, about 3 or 4 years ago now. The fact is, it's not been announced to the world, and I should also point out that there's a big connection here. If you're linking up all this information of the find in Busedge, Romania, these tunnels leading to the Giza Plateau, and also ancient history, because in Atlantis, at the time of the sinking, according to extraterrestrial information, Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, and about 1,600 of his fellow Atlanteans came to Chem, which is now Egypt. And according to Palladian information, Thoth was the architect of the Giza Pyramid. And thus there's a synchronicity between Atlantis and the Ra Confederacy. And Cayce actually said that the two political functions in Atlantis were the children of the Law of One, or the children of Ra, and the Belial, and that's B-E-L-I-A-L. And according to actually Arcturian sources, for 16,000 years, Thoth was king of Atlantis. And at that time, his name was Chiquetet, that's C-H-I-Q-U-E-T-E-T, Arlic, A-R-L-I-C-H, Bomalites, V-O-M-A-L-I-T-E-S. And he remained on Earth, according to Dromvalo Melchizedek and the Arcturians, he remained on Earth until May 4th of 1991. Now, that seems totally impossible unless you start to take into account that the Anunnaki had lifespans of thousands of years. And I should also point out that David Wilcock at Divine Cosmos, one of his whistleblowers, which is Corey Good, who apparently was a member of the Secret Space Program, according to his information, the giants called the progenitors in the Secret Space Program were sent to our prison solar system about 5 million years ago as a criminal, psychopathic, or sociopathic race of giants up to 75 to 100 feet tall. And according to this source, the moons in our solar system now exhibit buildings and bases with dimensions that appear to be designed for beings of this size. Likewise, parts of the rings of Saturn now consist of furniture and technology that appears to be designed for beings of this size. And according to this Corey Good, the giants devolved into 12 to 36 foot species and began to settle the Earth from the moon and the north and in North Africa. And these would be the fallen angels and included their commanders, the historical Lucifer and Satan. The giants were cruel, cannibalistic colonists and apparently there was a counter-strike from protectors of Earth and humanity from outside the solar system. And according to Good, the Sahara Desert is the footprint of a space strike that took out both the giants' settlement in North Africa and the giant glass dome settlements on the moon. And the Egyptian Homo Capensis conehead pharaohs are the descendants of the giants who survived in the Nile Highlands as remnants of the attack on a remaining giant solar system outpost on Earth and its moons. And the giants were reported to have white skin and red hair. They colonized North and South America. In North America, giant skeletons have been found in the Ohio area around Serpent Mound and other mounds. And there are multiple examples of giant skeleton beings discovered, even though there is a Masonic secret society conspiracy to hide the giant skeletons. This, according to Corey Good, the Smithsonian Institution was created with its purpose of creating, actually curating the giant bones and archaeology in a quasi-secret fashion. And actually, in a more recent Barbara Marciniak video, a YouTube video of channeling from information from the Pleiadians, she states that actually some of these giants were held in stasis. And actually, some are actually awaking now, and that from there are certain places around the planet that they're being spotted. In fact, there's even one particular I saw this week of a military expedition in Afghanistan that apparently came across a giant called the Giant of Afghanistan. You might want to check that out. It's kind of an interesting story. It's been I guess cross-referenced from like three different sources. And and actually it's kind of interesting as well is that this Buzej Romania find, this is in this what's called the Valley of the Giants in Romania. That's what it's called, Valley of the Giants. And there's some other historical anomalies that are happening as well with respect to some, you know, Romanian finds. There's such a thing as the Tataria tablets, T-A-T-A-R-I-A. And these Tataria tablets are like an alphabetical communication system that was discovered in Transylvania. And these are pre-Sumerian. And even Cambridge University now actually, they've concluded that it was the this civilization is like older than anything else we've discovered on as far as proof on the planet. And not that there weren't, you know, civilizations here before like Atlantis and Lemuria, but as far as our current science goes, and even among our current scientists, even though this isn't being reported to the public either, the oldest civilizations are known to be the Dacians, and that's D-A-C-I-A-N-S in Central Europe, Central and Eastern Europe. And they were actually the forerunners of the Italians. So it wasn't like history's kind of got, even modern history has that backwards. Like the Romanians are not descendants of the Italians or the Roman Empire per se. They actually existed previous to them, and probably some of their rulers were Anunnaki or giants. And then that's highly probable when you consider information that comes from the Arcturians, which I'll get to in a bit, about the formation of the pyramids. That Simon Parkes indicated that there were, say, when he was asked if the Anunnaki had anything to do with building the pyramids or creating the pyramids, and he said no, but that there was a connection. And that may have been the connection, that because of Thoth, who, if he lived for thousands of years, then no doubt he was Anunnaki as well. So there's a connection there, because Thoth is the architect of the Great Pyramid. And as I understand it, it was the seventh density Pleiadians who helped him construct them, along with the technology that used levitation and laser technology. And that would have been in about 10,500 BC. And I'd like to now share with you actually some information from Bashar, and that's it goes like this. Once upon a time, as you call it in the fairy tale, or approximately 4.5 billion years ago, the original information of your solar system was your sun as the central star, Mercury, Venus, Mars, no moon, a fourth planet larger than the Earth, which did not exist at this time, with many moons, including a large moon, Jupiter, Saturn, with two rings, Uranus, Neptune, and the planet you now understand to be Pluto, was a satellite of Saturn at that time. So in the beginning, this was the arrangement of the solar system. Approximately 4 billion of your years ago, a planet from another location came into your still-forming star system in a retrograde orbit, intruding into your solar system in the opposite direction, and it had a great impact upon the arrangement of the world in the following way. The incoming planet was also surrounded by its own moons. It arrived in approximately the same orbit as the fourth planet that then existed, and the one beyond Mars. And Mars at that time was the third planet. And it shattered this planet, creating what you now understand as the asteroid belt. The molten remains cooled once again, moved into a tighter orbit around your sun, and became what you now understand to be your planet Earth, and brought with it the large moon of the fourth planet. And that's why you still have your large moon in orbit around your Earth. This explains why your moon is so large compared to the present planet. Your moon originally formed around a larger planet of which your Earth is only a part. The Earth is approximately 67% of the former planet. The water came with you in that there was much water on this planet, but it reformed over time into a spherical shape once again, and the rift where the shadowing took place is what is now known as your Pacific Ocean. You will remember that all of your land was on one side of your planet at one time, and through continental shift, moved and closed in around the Pacific Ocean, making it much smaller than it used to be. But the Pacific Ocean is basically the site where the impact occurred that shattered that planet into the asteroid belt and your Earth. This planet was also responsible for shattering the moons, causing Saturn's rings, once for turning Uranus on its side and giving it a very highly inclined axis, and also through gravitational perturbation, unseated Pluto from Saturn, placing it in its own orbit as an independent world. And this planet, which caused all of the rearranging, is still part of your solar system now in a highly elliptical orbit. And it is, in that sense, your 10th planet. But its orbit encompasses what you would call 3,600 years. Every 3,600 years, it comes back around, and it is approximately 1,800 years before it re-enters the immediate neighborhood of your solar system. An interesting point, because whatever celestial bodies are in our solar system at present, according to Bashar at least, it's not this planet or Nibiru, because it's not due for another 1,800 years. Now, let's skip ahead through time and talk about a parallel lineage. Lineage B involves what you might call Lyran, the Lyran system, the Pleiadian system, the Orion system, and so forth. There were other civilizations that existed in these other systems, and many of you now existing on Earth are reincarnationally these beings that existed in the other systems. And the Anunnaki mined your entire solar system for materials, especially Earth, and set the moon up as an observatory, among other things. And in time, they came to understand that they did not wish to do all this themselves. They came to the point of realizing that they could create, with their genetic science, a group of beings out of the indigenous humanoid apes that existed upon your planet through evolution. They could create a group of beings that would, in fact, act out as workers for them. And they created what we call now Homo sapiens about 300,000 years ago. And later they continued their genetics and created beings that had more self-realization, and they did inquire as to their own independence. And one of the things they did not instill into the genetic structure was the extreme longevity of the Anunnaki. And they were able to live thousands and thousands of years and were looked upon as gods in that sense. And so here we have Bashar also confirming that this longevity of the Anunnaki being thousands and thousands of years. And also interesting to note that this is a channeling from Sal Rochelle of the Arcturians, and connecting here again this Anunnaki with the Giza Pyramid. And according to the Arcturians, the Giza Pyramid was built in 10,500 BC. The device served several purposes, but its primary function was as an ascension chamber and controller of Earth's grid system. It is also aligned with Mintaka, the central star in Orion's belt. Mintaka became the central point in Orion's enlightened government, following the resolution of the Rigel-Beilgeese Wars about 100,000 years ago. Mintaka also had geographical and geological significance in that it indicated a central axis point of Earth's precession of grand cycles occurring every 25,920 years, approximately. The grid system of Earth was correlated with the point at Giza being the center of the grid, and ley lines and vortices coming off at various sacred geometric angles therefrom. The Martians, during their heyday, had a similar grid system constructed at the same latitude and longitude on their planet, also engineered by seventh density Pleiadians. But alas, it never achieved its potential as a portal for ascension due to interference from Orion and Draco-Reptilian factions. Another strategic purpose of the Great Pyramid was to serve as an incoming portal for groups of Pleiadians, so that the purity and vision of the original blueprint would have a fighting chance of getting restabilized on Earth. Thoth and his group had a fair degree of success in working with the Atlanteans to construct temples of initiation and soul evolution along the banks of the Nile. Of the several thousand Atlanteans who made this area their home, a significant percentage took part in the ascension activities and initiations in the Great Pyramid. The seventh density Pleiadians constructed the device, or the pyramid, in a matter of days. And according to the Arcturians, these were fourth dimensional days, so would be quite longer in 3D, maybe years. But they used levitation and laser technology. The Pleiadians, in concert with those who left Atlantis and were living underground there, established the Hall of Records several thousand feet below the Great Pyramid. And the Sphinx was later erected by another group of Egyptians to mark the entrance to the portal. Interesting to note there that the rock Sphinx at the top of the Busej Mountain, interestingly enough, marks, if the story about the alien base and holographic record of history is there, that the rock Sphinx also marks that site. And the Arcturians ended that channeling by stating that Thoth, Ra, and Araragot, and that's A-R-A-A-R-A-G-O-T, all of whom were former kings of Atlantis, were together at that time. And another purpose for the pyramids and Sphinx was to mark the location where the real history of Earth is kept. And this includes extraterrestrial history as well. So we're getting lots of different sources that, AT sources at least, that confirm that in point of fact, there is a Hall of Records, and the Hall of Records, according to Bashar, has been found. And according to all these books about the find in Romania, that the holographic record is also there. Under a different Sphinx. So I present all this information as food for thought, and as usual, I'd like to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. I think there's lots of food for thought here concerning the amazing finds that have not been made public, and I highly recommend reading those books, which I have read three of them. I've read Transylvania Sunrise, Transylvania Moonrise, and The Secret Parchment. Haven't read Mystery of Egypt yet, but intend to. And kind of a fascinating area, this whole area of the Valley of the Giants in Romania, around Busej. And I'd like to close the program in my normal manner by sharing with you the Vichara, which is a technique taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi, and it involves basically the "Who am I?" Process. And in order to do this particular technique, you try to get to the highest place that you can through meditation or whatever means you so prefer, Many people like to do their asanas first and then pranayams and then meditation. Get to the highest place you can and then focus your entire energy in your ajna center or your third eye and become a spot in your third eye. The idea here being is when you've placed your full consciousness in that spot, you become that spot and then ask the question, who am I? And I'd suggest you do that multiple times, whatever seems to be the appropriate speed, rate, and number that seems right for you. And then when you become that spot, you then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part